my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
It's showtime.
Right, welcome everybody to another episode of the VHS Strikes Back. I am one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to the VHS Strikes Back, the show where we dust off the old video player and go on a nostalgic journey to look at the good and the bad movies of yesteryear. Now, Chris, what are we going to review this week?
Well, Dave, this is a Patreon pick, and one of our great supporters, Lucky Lulu Green, has picked a movie, Dave, that I have never seen, and that has been there in the background for almost 5 years or 6 years of the podcast inception. And you were like, I can't believe you've never watched this. So I was quite looking forward to it, saying, well, it's another one I can strike off the list, but would I like it? So we're going back to 1988, Dave, and it stars Michael Keaton, Alec Baldwin, and Gina Davis. And this one is... I'll say it three times, Dave. Beetlejuice. So, what do you remember about the first time you saw this one, Dave?
So, I remember seeing the trailer quite a lot before it came out. Saw it on video, the cinema was a rare trip back then. And it looked really funny. And it looked like Beetlejuice was the star character saying these funny things. I still can't accept it's Michael Keaton, Chris. No matter how many times I see it, it's like I still don't, he just does genuinely transform. But, I remember watching it, and I wouldn't say I loved it because the first thing I remember thinking is, well, he's hardly fucking in it. it's just in the trailer makes you think like he's in it all the time and he is the central character. But I remember thinking he's almost like a side character, but whereas Gina Davis and Baldwin, they were the main kind of characters to the whole movie. So I remember being a bit surprised by it. And I remember thinking, it's okay, but it's one of those, you get your dodgy scotch tapes off. So you've got it recorded. It's in the library. It's in the rotation. And I just remember watching it more and more. And then, just warm to it, the more times you watched it. And then I haven't watched it for years now, but I was interested to go back to see what did I actually think. But yeah, I wasn't sure how this one was going to hold up. And we'll get into that, I'm sure.
Well, for me, Dave, I remember, I've said it before, when this came out, I remember like one of my friends who always had older brothers always had the VHSs. The guy who traumatized me with the Freddy Krueger movies and stuff, Nightmare on Elm Street. And yeah. I remember him saying, Beetlejuice, you've got to watch it. And some of my friends had watched it through the family and everything, because it was a PG as well, wasn't it? So it's not like it was even though it doesn't have the F-bomb in it, but it is a PG. So it just didn't interest me. I just thought it's some sort of horror comedy thing. I didn't really know who Michael Keaton was until he was in Batman, if I'm honest. And then every time it's come about, I think Sam's seen it a couple of times, but I'm just like, I'm not fucking interested. It does nothing for me. I'm not into this sort of horror comedy bollocks. And with the VHSs we used to get, as you know, it had to be action or it was nothing. It had to be, action or martial arts. And there's no way I would have wasted a Friday night rental on this fucking film. So it's always sort of stuck with me for all these years. And Tim Burton, he gets absolutely praised by everybody, but I'm just not into his movies really, Dev. I know Batman's good, obviously the original Batman, but all his other stuff just does nothing for me really. His art style, his directing, it's not sacrilege, At the end of the day, Dave, you give me Devil's Island, fucking whatever, Hulk Hogan, I'm fucking happy as a pig in shit. But you give me a proper movie that's been reviewed very well, I'm not interested usually. So, I'm glad that Lucky Lulu Green's picked this one, because it is one I needed to tick off the box. And also, the unfortunate thing is you're watching it like nearly 40 years later, aren't you? It's 36 years old, this movie now. It's a long time ago this came out. So I was interested, would this stand up? We've watched stuff like Weird Science and that, which I'd never watched. I was like, what the hell is this? But I can imagine at the time, I would have loved it. So I'm not saying any more than that, Dave. But yes, I was really glad that I can tick it off my unwatched movies that I should have watched years ago.
Very good, very good. I am intrigued, Chris. So shall we get into our trailer?
Yes.
From the director of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Adam and Barbara are ghosts.
What's the good of being a ghost if you can't frighten people away?
Their house is being haunted by the living.
Maybe the house could use a little remodeling.
And they can't scare them into leaving.
They're dead. It's a little late to be neurotic.
So they're calling on Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice!
Who's no ordinary ghost.
Yeah, you don't want his help.
Can you be scary?
What do you think of this?
Now, the party's over.
You want somebody out of the house, I want to get somebody out of your house.
But the fun has just begun.
It's showtime.
Learn to throw your voice, fool your friends, fun and party.
Not bad.
This is amazing.
You want a cigarette?
Oh, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah, here I come, baby.
He's guaranteed to put some life...
Attention, keyword shoppers.
...in your afterlife. Michael Keaton is Beetlejuice.
I'm the ghost with the most, babe.
In Winter River, Connecticut, Barbara and Adam decide to spend their vacation decorating their idyllic country home. As they're driving home from a trip to town, Barbara swerves to avoid a dog and the car plunges into the river. After returning home, she and Adam notice they now no longer see their reflections. Now, Chris, what do you reckon to the opening of this movie?
Well, Dave, to be fair, I'll be honest, I didn't know Alec Baldwin was in it. I've gone into this, like you said, I've completely never even looked at the cast. I knew Gina Davidson, but never really took much notice of the actual front cover of the VHS, because Michael Keaton's just front and centre in his Beetlejuice there. Yeah. I've got to say, it's the slowest accident I've ever seen in a movie, Dave. The way that car just like action replayed over the side and turns upside down. And then obviously it flicks to him coming in and everything. And you get the feel straight away, yeah, it's a comedy. It's a bit of a, you know, you can see it's not like a serious type movie. But I do think I was surprised. I think you've hit nail on the head, and I know we're going to talk about it. But the fact that you have a character, and looking at like the trivia, he's only in it for 40 minutes and he isn't in it for ages, is he? I mean, it centers around them buying this, going to their house. And then obviously, because they've died, they've got to sell it. And you've got Jeffrey Jones and Catherine O'Hare, obviously, before Home Alone. And what's it called? Yeah. Mr. Thingy out of Ferris Bueller.
Eddie Barzoon that we saw recently.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, I don't, you know what, Dave? I don't hate the start, if that makes sense. I get it. I get what's about. I will say, you know, as I'm watching it, though, and the little skits that are going on, the little things that are going on, it did feel as if Tim Burton had ripped off some of the stuff from Nightmare on Elm Street. I know Nightmare on Elm Street is a serious horror movie, but Freddy's got them little silly things, hasn't he, in the movies where he does little things where, like, he's on a fairground or whatever he's doing, he's always doing something silly, even though it's like, you know, he's killing someone, but before he kills him, he sort of plays with him, doesn't he? Like, sort of a bit like how the fuck I'm going to get this fucking reference? I mean, when you see a cat with a ball of fucking wool or something and they're just pissing about with it.
Just playing about with it. Yeah,
playing about with it. And Freddy always does that with his kills, doesn't he? And it feels like at times in this, he didn't feel unfamiliar when you had, like, not just Beetlejuice, but you had the other characters on there and other things going on. It didn't feel alien what I was watching, if that makes sense. But I do feel that even though it's a big movie, it does feel like it's a real small, close set, the way that they put it together. Like, they didn't use a lot. There's not a lot of outside stuff, is there? It's all sort of inside set work and that. So, yeah, I don't hate it. I mean, Alec Baldwin, you know, there's a few movies that he's done that I quite enjoy. But, yeah, I don't know whether it really suits him, this movie. So, yeah. Well, I'm interested in what you think, Dave, because I've got a few other things to say, but there you go.
Yeah, I think because the movie is so familiar to me, I've not watched it for probably at least a couple of decades. But, it just felt familiar when I was going through it. It's one of those where it's hard to be objective. I didn't know, it's going to sound daft, right, but I know better who Alec Baldwin is now than I did when I watched this movie, you know. So when I watched it, I didn't really know who he was. And he was just the bloke. I remember Gina Davis being in it because I'd seen a few things that she'd been in. Didn't know, you know, I remember someone saying years after, like, oh, yeah, that Batman bloke, he's the guy who played Beetlejuice. I'm like, fuck off, no chance. Again, but even when I look at it now, I just can't accept it. But it does. I don't know why they chose to make him the title character. But I guess, the two people kind of encountering the afterlife, you know, it probably wouldn't make a very good title. So, but that's what it is for me. It's more about their journey. And it's this weird, almost Dr. Seuss take on the afterlife, isn't it? You know, they don't realize that they're both dead initially. And then they see themselves in the mirror and then you're getting this weird kind of almost civil service like setup for the afterlife. You know, they have to go in and then they get a ticket, but they've got to wait fucking years. And then they've got this case attorney that this old lady who's working for them and stuff. And they've got this manual that they've got to read through, you know, and apparently it reads like a VCR manual, you know. And it's just this weird, like, it is like this childlike world and this just imaginative take on what the afterlife is like. So that for me is the central part to the story. And then Beetlejuice is just this weird kind of side character that comes in near the end.
Yeah, and I must admit, Dave, I love movies where you've got that sort of crossover as well. You know, you look at something like Ghost, which I know we haven't reviewed yet, but like I love that idea of it. You know, like with Swayze and Demi Moore, obviously it's a more serious thing. It was a massive movie on it in the early 90s, but there is movies where I am fascinated by, like, is there an afterlife or whatever? You know, it does get you thinking, like, is, you know, when you go, is that it? It's just fucking see you later, you know, and all that, you know, it's a lot to think of. So I think movies like this, it did get me thinking and watching, like, we've seen it before, haven't we, with like some of these sort of movies where like people are looking and they're there, like, why can't you see me? Why can't you see me? You know, I don't understand, but, you know, I'm not here. So I have enjoyed movies like that. So I don't think, I'm not necessarily hating this movie at all. I do think like there's some good stuff in it. I actually think Catherine O'Hara and Geoffrey Jones are really good in it, actually, as the family and everything. They're just really silly, aren't they? It's almost like they're, because I kept thinking, are they the ones who are dead, really? And it's not, you know, but then obviously you get the flick between the different worlds and everything. But I like the idea. And obviously you've got Winona Ryder there as well, which was a massive movie for her as well. It sort of put her on the map more than anything. I think she's pretty good in it. Obviously, don't give her a bottle of wine or anything, Dave, you know what I mean, if you're in the shop. But
I think this was before those days. But
yeah, I think so, Dave.
Yeah. I think you're right. So, again, it's just a quite different movie, isn't it? That, you know, again, like you say, there are some horror elements to it. You know, some of the stop motion animation is quite freaky, and you know what when they're trying to put on their scary faces and stuff like that, it's horror like, but it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever watched Coraline. It's like childlike horror, you know, or tween horror.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. But yeah, I like the fact that, you know, how many times do you see it in horror movies and, like, you know, if you watch The Ring or The Grudge or something like that, and someone, you know, is murdered horribly and then they're just shit out scaring people. And these guys are just rubbish at it. You know, they're trying to scare people, but, you know, I mean, there's some freaky bits actually, aren't there? So when the family comes into the home, and you see Gina Davis there, and she's like sort of hung up, and then she like takes her face off.
Yeah.
You know, it's really quite freaky, isn't it? And it's like, oh, yeah, but they can't actually see you. But for us, the audience, you know, we see it, and it's like, fucking hell. You know, and then there's another bit where she's chopped Alec Baldwin's head off, and she's just stood there with a crazy look in her eye, you know, with a knife. And, you know, again, the family just can't see them. So it's only Winona Ryder's character. I should really refer to them by their character name, shouldn't I? So looking through now and I can't see them. But Barbara, Lydia. Of course. Barbara is Gina Davis, isn't she? And then Adam, Alec Baldwin is Adam. So that should have been easy enough to remember. But Yeah, so some really, really freaky bits. But I thought that, actually, you know, the family, I thought were okay. And you know what, Chris, watching it this time, I'm thinking, come on, Adam and Barbara, you're being a bit of a dick here. You are dead, you know, and this family are just trying to, they've come out of New York, haven't they? You know, and Delia is obviously this kind of, she's playing this kind of yuppie, artsy-fartsy character, you know, and so she's the one who's like looking to rip up the house. Geoffrey Jones playing Charles, you know, he just wants a fucking quiet life, Chris. I kind of empathize with him. He's working his arse off. He's working his arse off at work, and he's just like, leave me alone. You know, and he doesn't actually want to change the house at all. In fact, he says at one point, doesn't he, just leave this room. Just leave it alone. You can have the rest of the house, but just leave me here. I just want to chill out. I'm like, these guys are all right.
Yeah, I agree. And isn't it mad, Dave, as you get older and we just want a fucking quiet life? You watch these movies and you're like, you're in. Dick, you know what I mean? Like, even one of my all-time heroes as a kid, Ferris Bueller, through the Geoffrey Jones reference. I love that movie. The amount of times I used to sit there before I went to school years ago, I haven't said this story. If I didn't watch Ferris Bueller when he was singing Twist and Shout, or I didn't watch Back to the Future, Johnny Be Good, I wasn't amped up to go to school, Dave. I'd have to watch both of them or watch one of them bits on the VHS. I don't know why. It always got me going in the morning. So, right, okay, I'll go to school now. But constantly watched him. But yeah, as a character, you're like, he's just a little bellend, basically. You know what I mean? But then as you watch other movies, he's sort of going, well, I actually sympathize with the parents. They've done nothing wrong here. You're just a dick, but you're like the hero. And we've talked about this loads of times in this podcast. You're the hero. We were like, oh, what a guy. But really, it's like, actually, you're breaking the law. You're the dickhead. But they're making out the cops and the baddies, and they're just doing the job and going about the business, other than Rambo, and obviously Rambo is the hero, Dave. But I'm with you, though. I'm with you. Like, the scene where is it when they open the cupboard and they're fucking dead. Must have been so – how many times do you think they would have filmed that scene, though, where they were like, fuck off, I can't do it. You know, they're pretending to be dead and looking at them, aren't they, and everything. There's some really, really clever bits, and I do think the stop motion's good as well. I think, the whole art style of it is good. You know, I'm calling Tim Burton out and at the start, but I think for this movie, it works very well, doesn't it? Because you are playing on stuff like Tales from the Crypt, aren't you? There's some horror stuff we've seen previously. There's loads of callbacks. There's callbacks to, like, The Fly, which obviously Gina Davis was in. There's different callbacks in this movie. But yeah, I don't hate it at all, honestly. And there is actually a couple of funny bits as well, to be fair, which I didn't think I'd be sat there going, actually, you know, sort of laughing to myself because I watched it on my own. Obviously, no curtains were closed or anything, Dave. There's none of that going on. But I'm very surprised, like, why I've not watched this all this time. I think it's just my prejudice against this sort of movie, saying I'm not watching it, when really I probably should have chalked this off the box.
So one of the things that I am very curious to find out, watching it for the first time in 2024, is what you think about the possession dinner scene. So one of the most iconic scenes that I think most people remember about this movie is when, you know, it's Barbara and Adam and they possess the family, and then they make them sing a Calypso song, Deo, the banana song.
Well, yeah. That's not aged very well, Dave, has it? I suppose, you know, let's be honest. We probably, that wouldn't get to the cinema these days, would it?
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, the thing is, I can't be objective about it because I feel like, you know, kind of warm when I see it, you know, and they're obviously, they do a great job, all of them, I think, in acting it out, you know, as if they're kind of possessed, but they don't really know what's going on. But I just remember seeing it. Chris, I've got to tell you this, right? I remember when I was a kid, we were in, it was probably fucking Benidorm or Salou or somewhere like that. And my mum and dad had, you know, got chatting to this other couple, and sounds like a dodgy story. It's the start of a dodgy story. It's not. But, and then I just remember them, you know, you having drinks and whatever, and then, you know, they being the kids, you just sort of tagging around and stuff. And I just remember this bloke, he was actually from Bradford, and he'd been in the Bradford fire. I remember it quite vividly, him talking about it and talking about people taking the piss and, you know, like, but for him, it was a traumatizing thing. But this was in the 80s, like, stuff about trauma and mental health and stuff just wasn't really a thing. But I remember this conversation quite vividly. But I remember we were coming back from the bar or whatever, and he just bursts out into Deo. I had never heard this song before. This pasty white bloke from Bradford just starts with the voice and everything, Chris. The voice, the accent, he's just belting it out. And I just remember being like a bit confused by it because, you know, I could hear the words, and I'm just sort of, I'm only a kid at the time, but I'm puzzled. I'm like, this doesn't sound quite right with you singing it. It does sound like it's something to do with slavery. And it just seemed fucking weird. I mean, can you imagine, Chris? Can you imagine? It'd be like singing, I don't know, a Bob Marley song or something in a pub in Manchester or something, wouldn't it? You know, it'd be that bad.
Well, we used to sing the Rolling Stones' Brown Sugar, and that's been banned everywhere, didn't we? And like, you now you realize what that means. It's like, yeah, that's like, no wonder it's not played on the radios anymore. That was one of in our set, wasn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's banned. I did that in a singing competition in Manchester, that fucking song as well. I'll never forget it.
I just assumed it was some sort of drug reference. What is it?
No, I think it's to do with like, prostitution and yeah.
Really?
We won't go any further than that, Dave. Okay. Fucking rabbit hole there. But I've sang that many a time in the band sort of thing. But yeah, it's not played anywhere now at all. It's one of them banned songs. But yeah, imagine doing that Bob Marley stuff in Manchester in a pub, Dave. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Right, move on, Dave, anyway.
Yep. And moving swiftly on, Chris. I just thought it probably doesn't age well, but I just can't be objective about it. I think it's a great, great scene. But of course, it doesn't have the effect that they thought it would. You know, they possess these people and they're like, they're trying to see the business opportunity. They're probably going for this kind of yuppie, you know, entrepreneurial family, aren't they? You know, they're just trying to make an enterprise out of it. And that's when they kind of get to their wits' end, really, and they decide they're going to call Beetlejuice. But I'd forgotten, like, it's quite drawn out even that. So even when you meet Beetlejuice the first time, you know, he's just this little sort of guy in the model of the whole town. And he stays small for quite a while. And it's actually Lydia, isn't it, who says Beetlejuice three times to make him come out a little bit later. Actually, I'm kind of jumping quite a lot there. But, she basically declares he's a bit of a pervert, and he is a lechy fucker, isn't he?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know. What did you think of, like, ultimately Keaton coming out as Beetlejuice? You know, it's almost like these little sound bites or these things that are designed, if it was today, you'd say designed to go onto YouTube, you know, all these little clips and stuff. But what did you make of that?
Yeah, I find it very difficult with him. It's interesting. I'm constantly looking at the makeup going, well, that's Michael Keaton. You can hear it in the cadence in his voice, can't you? Some of the things he said and everything. You can see little like lines. And then obviously, I even then thinking about like you know, do you want me to get nuts? Let's get nuts. I'm thinking, is that like somebody putting Batman as a bit of a piss take? Like, is it a bit of a, like a throwback to Beetlejuice? I don't know, Dave. I can't say that I'm vouching for him as a character. And I can't really say he's anybody I'm vouching for really in the movie. But I do think that his delivery on stuff is good, but it's that little, he's got that like really, it's like a really weird voice, and he drops his voice down into his, like, yeah. He sort of talks like that, don't he, all up when he's talking to Lydia and everything. And you're right. I mean, to be fair, he doesn't even get big until the last 15 minutes of the movie. So it's not like he's in that model thing, and he the dialogue's there. The silly things are going on as well, aren't they? I mean, the flick between the model town and then when it's sort of like supposed to be big, and you've got like the vehicles and all that. It is a bit Superman 2, the way it delivers. Obviously, Superman 2, that fight with Zod at the end, you've got that whole model thing, haven't you? But they do try and shoot it so it looks like it's a real living thing. With this, they don't even think it, they're just taking the piss out of it, really. And obviously, the budget was probably a little bit less. I don't know with Beetlejuice. I don't know what it is, Dave, but I don't feel, I know Michael Keaton gets praised for this, but I just don't enjoy his performance, if that makes sense. I think everyone else around it, and he's the main character as well, we're led to believe. I mean, it takes nearly, was it 40-odd minutes or whatever till we see him properly, or 50 minutes, whatever it is, but he's the main character, but he isn't, if that makes sense. There's a whole story going on around him, and he's just there just to cause a load of havoc at the end of the movie, really. Yeah, it's a very weird choice more than anything. And I also saw Tim Burton wanted Sammy Davis Jr. to play Beetlejuice, and they fucked him off, and were like, nope.
Really?
Because he loves Sammy Davis Jr. and he wanted him to play Beetlejuice. I mean, he would have been, obviously, what's the Cannonball Run? In the Cannonball Run, he looked about 60-odd. He must have been in mid-60s when this would have come out, at least. So I don't get that. Or maybe older.
Yeah, I mean, I think I don't quite agree. For me, at least, I think I do enjoy his performance, but I do think he is just a side character. You know, like, going back to Jaws, right? Obviously, title of the movie, and Jaws is definitely the baddie. But most of the film does not have Jaws there. You know, it's everything else, isn't it? You know, it's the things going on around. So I don't know why, but I just feel with this, he should have been in it more. You know,
yeah,
maybe it's just because he wasn't even hinted at for a lot of the earlier part of the movie. You know, the whole first act, he probably didn't feature at all. But then when he does come on screen, I do think he is going for it, isn't he? And you can tell it's Keaton when he sort of drops into a normal voice. You know, when he's talking about, oh, yeah, well, I went to Harvard. And, you know, for me, I can tell it's him then. But when he's putting on the, you know, going for it with the full-on Beetlejuice voice, it does feel like someone else to me. But, you know, for this little kind of family horror, you know, or dark fantasy kind of thing, I didn't really expect there to be a brothel in it, you know?
So it's got to be a brothel, Dave.
It's like Beetlejuice is being a bit feisty, and so they just stick him up a brothel there, and then after that, he's all kind of chill and relaxed, isn't he?
Well, not that I've ever been in one.
Surprised he's awake. But yeah, like you were saying before about when you're getting older, you look at things differently. I don't think as a kid, I really, you know, when you're a kid and you're watching this, I think I was just thinking, oh, yeah, girls, you know, that's it, girls. And it's funny, isn't it? It's like, you know, the wolf in the cartoons and stuff when he's wolf whistling and stuff. Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? But now I'm like, is that really appropriate? I thought that was a bit strange. And I thought Winona Ryder played a good character, you know, the mopey goth teenager who, you know, everything's hard work in life, you know, and so she just wants to be dead. And I just thought she played it well. And then it really sort of escalates, doesn't it? And again, you know what I was saying last week, Chris, about the 70s movies, and like the whole film seems to be building up to some massive crescendo right at the end, like with the conversation and with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest last week.
Yeah.
And it's almost, it's like that for this, isn't it? Because basically the family and the guy who's a bit of a tool, like the guy who's like an interior decorator / fucking medium, you know, they're doing a seance, and then they've got the wedding clothes, haven't they? And they're reviving kind of Adam and Barbara. And again, I felt like the special effects were quite good there. And you know, again, for 1988. And then Lydia's trying to save them, isn't she? So she thinks the only thing I can do is, like, get Beetlejuice. But that's when it all fucking really escalates, isn't it? You know, and it, like you say, comes up like a big fairground, what is it, like the strength machines, the hammer things. And yeah, it just all goes to shit then, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, to be fair. But I think the effects are really good. I think all the, like the effects, the way they set it up, the music, everything's really good. Obviously, he's got to marry Lydia Annie to, you know, so we can basically haunt people in our world as such. But also, I've got to say, Dave, I know it's towards you, but you know the little head bits, the fucking little heads?
The head shrinker, like,
did it say that I used to get called that at one point? So at work, someone called it me at work once, fucking Beetlejuice. I was like, what the fuck's what, Beetlejuice, you can't. I was like, proper like offended. I said, I've never even watched that shit, you know, and all this. And we had a wall of shame, so we used to put like pictures up of everyone, you know, like lookalikes and everything. Like these two guys in the warehouse who are both, one of them's 5 foot, the other's 5 foot two.
He's trying really hard not to say the M-word.
yeah, well, we've been there, haven't we? And there was pictures up of them. One of the guys was 6'5", so with the all three of them, the 2 5-foot people went with the 6'5" guy to close down a warehouse once when I was there at Birmingham, and then they turned up in the van. The two of the smaller guys came out. Everyone started laughing, and then the 6'5" guy was driving the van, and everyone was like, "Fuck me! Has the circus come to town?" Well, that was it.
I thought you were going to say you twins.
You can imagine what the pictures were on them lot, and then everyone had pictures. One of the lads always went on holiday, so I got a picture of this woman who'd been on far too many sunbeds, and you know, he just threw pictures up of each other, you know, just to offend. We had to get told to throw it, take it down. But I got the fucking Beetlejuice thing, and I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And they were all laughing, because it was when he used to do proper training, and obviously never taking any sort of gear or anything. Obviously, if you take steroids or anything like that, your head goes big as well, doesn't it? It goes red, it goes round, it basically gets bigger. Obviously, the fucking nose would probably get even worse, or probably a wise choice. But I never did. So when I was bigger, I had the big body, and they were all like, yeah, you look like that fucking guy off Beetlejuice and all this. And I was like, you dickheads, you know, because you're not taking it. So there was the picture of that guy, and it was like Chris Phelps in the gym, fucking that little guy next to Beetlejuice at the end. So because I think I'd never seen it. So I was like, no context. And watching it this time, I was like, I was still offended. Now it's about fucking 10 years ago, that picture. Was like, you cheeky bastard. You know what I mean? But yeah, so I get it now. I get exactly what it is, the fucking picture. Head guy, it's fucking funny.
It is a good bit.
but I do think, like, the movies at the end, you're right, it all comes together, doesn't it, pretty well. I think it does come together. Beetlejuice is just being a complete bell end, and he's got other ideas, hasn't he? But Lydia sort of saves the day, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying about the kind of the stop motion animation, but when Beetlejuice is like the snake, you know, I feel like that whole scene a little bit earlier was really quite grim, wasn't it? It was quite scary. And then you end up with the have you ever seen Matilda, Chris?
Tim Burton, I'm calling myself out again.
He's just gonna be like,
all sci-fi movies. Oh, I love all these movies. Willy Wonka, yeah, I loved it. Yeah, great movie. Yeah, I'm gonna call myself, but yes, I don't mind Matilda, it's a good movie, that.
Yeah, and so the ending kind of feels very much like that, you know. So They've got rid of Beetlejuice. I think the original idea was they were going to sort of kill him off, but he's clearly just so such a popular character. And of course, coming out for the sequel, aren't they, Chris? Like literally this year,
September.
So yeah, we'll have to watch that maybe. But yeah, I mean, it all comes together, and like the Lydia has basically turned it around. She's not a depressive, mopey kid anymore, and she's doing really well at school and stuff. And they've properly like integrated the family and Adam and Barbara into their lives, haven't they? And you get the kind of upbeat music and, you know, a bit of a musical number to finish it off. So yeah, I think by the end of it, I think it finishes off in a really heartening way.
I agree. And reading the trivia, I'm sure you've seen it yourself, but the American footballers that she's dancing with at the end, they're actually a throwback to an actual college football team that died in like 73 or something. And that they've got the red suits on. I know exactly. But that's what that is. It's basically them dancing with her. So I don't know where that came from, but that's what their throwback is. So, but yes, I agree. I think it ends pretty well, doesn't it? They've got to show a bit of ghost when she needs it. However, Dave, you haven't picked up on something, Dave, and I'm very disappointed in you. When Alec Baldwin's got the big nose, I was expecting some joke about the nose. You know, she laughs at his nose, doesn't she? And then he pushes it back in, sort of thing. But yeah, I did expect her. Oh, I thought that would be fucking, you know, get you, but you missed the joke there. But no, honestly, I'm the same. I think it ends pretty well, and I don't hate the movie, Dave. I'll be honest with you. I really don't. How the sequel's going to go? I did see people saying online that, are they going to start it where he's in this waiting room with the ticket? You know, is that how they're going to start the movie or whatever? How they're going to do it? But yeah, they basically nearly filmed it, haven't they? So it's September, I think it's out.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just reading, Chris. So the apparently there was going to be a sequel, but Tim Burton lost interest. And then, of course, took Michael Keaton across with him to make Batman. Like, literally, it was Batman 89, wasn't it? So it was the year after.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, talk about iconic. So, yeah, we could have had this sequel back then. So I am genuinely intrigued about, like, how they're going to go with it. And, I do genuinely want to see it.
No, I think your kids might like it, though, Dave, if it's all more up to date. Have they seen the first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, they quite like it. Yeah,
I think they'll enjoy that, especially at the cinema. I think it'll be a good at the cinema. I don't know if I will go unless Sam forces me to go, but I will watch it. I will watch it, to be fair.
Nice. Well, with that, Chris, should we get into our final review?
Let's go. So, Dave, and big thank you to Lucky Lulu Green as well. Thank you for picking this. I'm glad I've watched it. As you can tell, I didn't shit on it. I didn't do my usual, this is bullshit. I actually, in parts, quite enjoyed it. And I think the familiarity of some of the characters and some of the actors and actresses who are in it, who've known in all these 80s movies and, you know, like Home Alone, Ferris Bueller, things like that. Obviously, Gina Davis, we've done a couple of, haven't we, Dave? We've done The Fly, and we did that Spacemen from fucking Outer Space. What the hell?
Earth Girls Are Easy, was it?
That one as well. So nothing like what I just said, but that's the one, Dave. It feels easy to call Bloom again. So it didn't feel unfamiliar. Like I said, I did feel like they were touching a little bit on Nightmare on Elm Street, that sort of like pissing about bits and that. Keaton is okay as Beetlejuice, I suppose. I just think because I know who it is, he's Batman. You know, I just see him as Batman for me. So I'm going to put it, Dave, in Hill Valley. It's not absolutely horrendous at all. I did enjoy it in spots, and it wasn't one of the ones where I was looking at my watch, having to get up, take a break. I watched it in one go. It's 92 minutes, and it is a classic. I can see why people loved it. Obviously, unfortunately, nearly 40 years later, I've just missed the boat on this one, sadly. So, good pick, Dave. So what about yourself?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that is the highest score I could have expected, really. I thought this can go anywhere from the bottom to the middle. But for me, I definitely did enjoy it. And you know what? I think when I was a kid, I just had this expectation that Beetlejuice was the central character, and he really isn't, you know? And I guess this time I was watching it and just, I was enjoying the ensemble cast a lot more. I was enjoying kind of Barbara and Adam's journey and like figuring out the afterlife and all these little side things that are going on, this take on, you know, how it could be, this, like say, this tween horror take on that sort of scenario. So yeah, I did quite enjoy it without necessarily loving it. So I think it's a Pleasantville for me. I mean, we mentioned about Tim Burton, but of course the music is always hand in hand with Danny Elfman, isn't he? So that's the other thing that you get, as well as like the aesthetic of how everything looks, you know, the cinematography and everything with Burton movies. It's the music as well. And I think that's just, you know, it gives you that sense. If you think about if they'd have chosen to make a much darker tone for the movie, then it might have been a bit scarier. But the fact is, you know, you go from these kind of slightly scary moments and it's like the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, all right, everything's okay in the world again. So, yeah, I think that does a lot to make you feel how you feel about the movie as well. So, yeah, good, solid pick. Glad we watched this one.
No, it's good stuff. Good, really good stuff. Now, Dave, it's my pick. And, you know, was I going to go down the route of Shadow Warrior, Salt on Devil's Island 2, which apparently is not 2, it's the first one, do a stitch you up with something else? But no, I'm not going to do that, Dave. I'm going to pick something that I've wanted to do for ages. It was a movie that I rented out when I always thought my granddad having that year subscription of just going to get a movie every night. And I remember walking around Titles, the video shop, looking for something. And I was like, oh, I can get this. And I could get away with buying 15s, even though I was about 12, 13. They never questioned me because they knew me. So this one was a 15, Dave. It stars Dennis Hopper, Laura Flynn Boyle, Dave. But more importantly, it stars Nicolas Cage. So we are going to be reviewing 1993's Red Rock West. So let's get into the trailer.
It's the kind of work you look for.
I was hoping to get on a drilling crew.
Why don't you try Red Rock? Maybe somebody there can head you in the right direction.
You might like this one.
I thought you were supposed to be here last Friday.
Sing this one.
You are here for the job, aren't you? And you're Lyle from Dallas, right?
This is very much like The Rock.
There's the five. Like
yeah, you
not done The Rock.
Across the house.
I'd have to rectify that.
When she comes
week.
In, you
and Connor.
You know what to do.
Connor, yeah.
Your name's Suzanne.
I don't know. See, I watched this before Connor and that came out.
Her husband,
really enjoyed
Wayne.
It.
He plans to have you murdered.
You know, I never did catch your name.
Michael.
Lyle from Dallas.
Super.
What should I do?
If I were you, I'd get a divorce.
Marriage is just a state of mind.
Not in Texas.
We're not in Texas.
You can't let them get away. Just find her.
It's all about money.
I don't like it, don't make me shoot you.
Nicolas Cage of Honeymoon in Vegas and Moonstruck, Lara Flynn Boyle of The Temp and Wayne's World, and Dennis Hopper of Boiling Point and Blue Velvet.
Does this mean that we ain't partners?
Red Rock West, from Columbia TriStar Home Video.
Interesting.
Love that voice. Love that voice.
Yeah.
There's something completely different. It's a movie I've had on my list for ages, and I was like, I really want you to watch it. And I'm sure people listening, there's probably a few, if you're a Nicolas Cage fan, maybe you've seen it, but it's one of his ones that don't get mentioned. I think it's one of his best movies, to be honest.
You know what it sort of reminds me of in that trailer? You remember Blood Simple we did?
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of that. It's got that kind of feel, you know, small cast, you know, obviously, you know, there's a chase on there and whatever, and, you know, some kind of intrigue. So, obviously, set in Texas as well. So, yeah, quite looking forward to this one, Chris. That was not what I was expecting.
Well, Dave, I'm full of surprises. So, big thank you to everyone, as always, for supporting the podcast, emailing, contacting us. We really appreciate all your support. If you want to email us, the vhsstrikesback@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, at vhsstrikesback. As always, if you get a chance, please drop myself and Dave a review on the show. We really appreciate it if you can, and we'll read them all out, good, bad, or the ugly. We really appreciate it. If you do want to support us, get over to patreon.com/thevhsstrikesback. So the roll call of honour and a massive thank you to our patrons. So we have Mr. Mike Burton, we have Lee, Helen, Dylan, Stephen, Trent, Dan, Justin, Susan, Timothy, Matt, Heath, Kent, Lucky Lulu Green, Herb, Jax, Maff, Blake, John Hammond, and Mr. Tony Farina. So thank you so much for all your support, guys. Amazing people. And everyone who supported the podcast, past and present. We really, really appreciate it.
Awesome, Chris. Well, you know, we've managed to make it all the way through without doing any impressions at all. And you do love a Batman impression, so I'm wondering how it stacks up to a Beetlejuice impression. So, to put you on the spot, how are you going to finish it off today?
Well, Dave, Beetlejuice, one of the lines that I did actually like, Dave, and it does feel like something I like to do when I've got, you know, maybe a 10-minute window there and I'm just flexing the shoulders. So, all I'm going to say is, Dave, let's turn on the juice and see what shakes loose. Goodbye.
I know.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we gonna do now?
What are we gonna do?
Maybe we could build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I'll be back.
That's right.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Wax on, wax off.
All right. Ding, ding.
Bust you up.
Go for it.
Well, here we go.
Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't so bad. Ain't nothing.
You must be crazy or something.
I'm crazy.
You're just a stupid fool.
Yeah, maybe you're stupid.
You're crazy.
I ain't breathing heavy.
He's a fool. He's stupid.
I've seen you in 6 hours. Oh,
I must break you.